Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. Now, in this particular passage, we're going to be studying about the wells of life, or the fountains of life. You know, there are people that have looked for the fountain of youth. Well, we didn't find the fountain of youth, but we found the fountain of life, the well of life. There are three references in the Bible to either the wells or the fountains of life. And today we're going to study those and find out where they are and what they are and how you can have life from these wells. All right, let's read Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, yesterday when we did our study, we handled the second part of this proverb, the violence that covereth the mouth of the wicked. Today we're going to look at the mouth of a righteous man, because it's a well of life. Now, when we study these wells or these fountains today, you're going to see three places where you can get life, or if you have these, where you can extend life to somebody else. Of course, the first one, this one, the mouth of a righteous man, it has two applications. In other words, you can go to a man that is a righteous man and draw from his well of life, or you can be a righteous man and be a well of life so others can draw from you. Now look at this thing here. What are we looking at? The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Well, you know, when a man is a righteous man, and of course in the New Testament when we get saved, our righteousness is attributable to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. It is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. By that, I mean we don't have our own righteousness. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We don't have our own righteousness. We have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was given to us by God Almighty. It was imputed to us or accounted to us because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved, what happens to you is that the righteousness that comes in you manifests itself by the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, so that when you have the opportunity to talk to somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ, they can find life through your testimony. You're a well of life. Look at John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. Just look at it. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get with Him the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit, when He comes inside of you, does things that you cannot do for yourself. You already know that. But look what else He does. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now you see that right there? That's not water flowing out of His belly button. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. What comes out of Him comes out of His mouth. In other words, when the Spirit of God is in you, He testifies through you of the work God is doing in you for the benefit of others who hear your testimony, so that they, through your testimony, might have life. Now, I'll give you an example about this testimony thing. And it's a testimony to the Scripture, okay? When we were going through the building of this church building, We did not have enough money to finish the building when we started the project. We didn't solicit any money. We simply were just going to borrow money on an interim construction loan to finish if the Lord didn't provide the money that was needed to finish the building. During the building, there were missionary needs that arose. We just could not refuse. We took on some more missionaries, and also we met those needs that were presented to us. As a matter of fact, I believe the missions giving of the church went up about 40% during the year that we were building the building, which is a strange thing. But the Bible says in Luke 6:38, "Given it shall be given unto you." And that applies to the church as well. And you know something? By the time we moved into this building, every bill was paid, and we didn't borrow a dime. Now, we had another missionary that came here several weeks ago, and I just simply told him at lunch the testimony of God's grace in helping us get this building done and in making it happen, and how we gave to missions during the time that we were building. He called me about a week ago and told me that his funds were short and he had some missionaries that he was supporting personally, and he was thinking about cutting back on their missionary support in order to meet his bills. I mean, we weren't talking but, you know, a couple of $100 total. And he told me, though, since he had heard that testimony of something that God did in the church, he was wondering if maybe he shouldn't increase his missionary support to those missionaries. And, of course, that's his decision, but I told him, I said, you know, in our case, that was what was true. You know, that God blessed the increase. Giving by increasing our giving. Well, he did it. And I prayed for him. I wasn't sure how the thing was going to turn out. You know something? He called me yesterday and had just been to a missions conference, and during that missions conference, they took up an offering one evening for his trips that he takes to Africa, and they raised $8,712.50 for him. I mean, he was worried about cutting back around $200, and look at the way the Lord multiplied that. I mean, in 3 years of that cutback monthly support, he would not have saved as much money as he received in one night, 2 weeks after he decided to increase their support. He called me and said, "Thank you for such a good idea." I said, "It wasn't my idea. It was God's idea. Given it should be given unto you. It was God's idea. I'm just glad that we could, listen, be a testimony to what God had done, you see. Out of our belly flowed rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit used the testimony of what God did in this church, spoken through our mouths, to encourage this missionary not to cut back on the support that he was giving to missionaries that he supported, but rather to increase it, and God would increase the support that he needed for the work that he does. Isn't that a remarkable thing? You know what it is? It is the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now, more importantly, with our mouths and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, you and I can lead souls to Jesus Christ. They can have eternal life through our testimony. Give you another illustration of that, of how it works both ways. In other words, you can use your mouth to testify, or you can go to somebody who can testify. You see what I mean? It works either way. In other words, if you don't have eternal life right now, but you need to be saved, you can go to somebody who has the Holy Spirit in them, and they, with their mouth, as righteous men because of Jesus Christ, they can give you the words of life that you need in order to be saved. They are a well of life to you. Give you an example. Years ago, I was in the banking business, and some of my banking friends, I was concerned for their souls. We prayed for them. We'd give them tracts. We'd talk to them a little bit about the Lord. When I'd gone off to train for the ministry, I got word that two of those men had gone to the pastor of the First Baptist Church individually and had asked him about eternal life, and he was able to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ by his words, by his mouth, by his testimony, because out of his mouth would flow a well of life wherein these men could hear the words of eternal life. So you can testify if you're saved, and others can be saved through your testimony. Or if you're not saved, you can contact somebody who is, and they can give you the words of eternal life that you might be saved. The mouth of a righteous man will turn a sinner away from sin. The righteous man can turn another man with his mouth away from sin. Look at James chapter 5, if you've got a Bible. James chapter 5, look at verses 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Well, this well that we have within us is a well of life. And when you convert a sinner from the error of his way, you save a soul from death. You know what you do? You give them life. You're like a rescue operation. So the first well that we have is the mouth of a righteous man. And if you're saved, you ought to be using your mouth to give others life. You know, we have mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, CPR. Well, if you use your mouth to turn a sinner, to convert a sinner from the error of his way and save him from death, you're just like a man on a rescue mission that saves somebody that's about to die. If you allow the Holy Spirit in you to well up in you and bring forth that water out of your belly like living water, those that you hear from you about the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. As a righteous man, you're a well of life. If you're not one yet, you can go to a righteous man and be saved and become a well of life. But that's the first one. There are two other wells or two other fountains of life. The second one is found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death, the law of the wise. Now, what's that? Well, back when Proverbs was written, the law of the wise was the book, was the words of God that had been written down. Today, we've got those. They're right here on the desk. They're in this Bible. Right here on the desk, I've got a King James Bible, and in it are the words of God. In it is the law of the wise. And you know what the law of the wise is? It's a fountain of life. Listen, you can go to the Bible. If you can't find a righteous man, you can go to the Bible, and you can read it for yourself, and you can be saved. All of it. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Men are born again by the word of God. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. Why? Because eternal life is in it. We were out visiting, I think it was a week or two ago, we were visiting a family and sat down and we were just talking to the young man and the young woman about their salvation. And the young man said, I got saved by reading the Bible. Somebody had given him a Gideon New Testament he stuck in his backpack, and a year later he pulled it out of his backpack and began to read it and read in there the words of life. He read the law of the wise. He bowed his head. He received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he had eternal life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. When Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees and others about him, himself, about what he came to do, about how he could give them eternal life, he was trying to show them various things that would witness to his truth. His works did, his Father did. He also told them that the Scriptures did. He said in John chapter 5, verse 39, John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So a man, young or old, can be saved by reading the Bible. I mean, that's the law of the wise. There is eternal life in the pages of this book. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told him, he said, listen, Timothy, he said concerning the Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3:15, he said, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know why it is that men can gather up a crowd in their churches and spend an hour and a half singing songs of praise and worship, give about 15 to 20 minutes of some cheap counseling, take up an offering so they can pay whatever they want to use the money for, and send the people away. I don't understand that. With a book as powerful as this book, and a book that contains the words of eternal life, that is eternal life, through the words of God, why would they deny the hearers the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ if they're already saved through the words of life, or give them life through the words of God by showing them how to be born again? It's shocking. They're getting a crowd up for crowd's sake and not for the sake of giving them the words of eternal life. Listen, when Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he gathered up a crowd. He didn't use music to do it. He did it by giving them some food. There were 5,000 men besides women and children that were fed miraculously. And after they were fed, they came looking for Jesus. And they wanted more food. And he said, I'm the bread of life. You got to eat me. Well, that threw them for a tailspin. They didn't know what to do with it. He said, and then he went on to explain what he meant. And in John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus Christ said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. In other words, if you could eat my body, either in a wafer form, or if you could eat my body literally, it wouldn't do you any good. The flesh profiteth nothing. Watch it. John 6:63, he says this, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. You see, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. Jesus told them, the words that I speak unto you, they are life. Life is in this book. This is a living word. You know, a bunch of the disciples just flipped out with this. They didn't know what to do. They turned back in John chapter 6, verse 66. They left him. So Jesus asked Peter and the disciples, are you guys going to pull out too? And look what Peter said in John 6:68. In John 6:68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Why would you think that you're going to have life without the words of this book? Why would anybody think that they're going to impart life to a person by preaching anything other than the words of life that are in this book? I wouldn't tamper with it. People say, why do you use that King James Bible? Because it saved my soul. And I use it, I believe it, I preach it because I've seen others that are saved by it. Last night, we had the opportunity to go to a house of folks that have been visiting the church. We visited with them and sat down in their living room and watched them and prayed with them as they bowed their heads and received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And every word they heard that convinced them how to receive Jesus Christ and convinced them of eternal life by receiving Jesus Christ and showed them Jesus Christ, every word came right out of the Scriptures. Every word that they have ever heard preached, every word that was spoken last night or any night when we were witnessing to them came right out of the pages of a King James Bible. They got saved. You see, the problem is that you got to get the word on the inside. It's not enough just to have it bouncing out of your brain and out of your ear and places like that. You got to get it in your heart. It's got to be in you. James chapter 1, verse 21, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. You see, like it becomes a part of you. Engrafted word. That's the problem. People want to study it like they're reading a novel. It's got to get in you and take hold of you. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You see it? The law of the wise is a fountain of life. You want life? It's in the book. It's in the book. It'll reveal you to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, when you receive him, will give you life. So, the first well of life is the mouth of a righteous man. The second well of life is the law of the wise. It's the Bible. And the third well of life is found in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. The third well of life is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You see it? When you depart from the snares of death, you live. Now, why would the fear of the Lord be a fountain of life? Well, I'll give you a few verses on it. The first one, and the most interesting, is found in Acts chapter 10. I say the most interesting because, not because the other ones aren't, they're all good. It's just because in this particular one, you see how the fear of the Lord directly contributed to the man's salvation. Acts chapter 10, we're looking at a man named Cornelius who was a Gentile, and notice his characteristics. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, if he's in the Italian Band, he's not a Jew, he's a Gentile. Watch it, verse 2. A devout man and one that feared God. He was a God-fearing man. With all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Even though he feared God at this point and did these other wonderful things, he wasn't saved. Peter came to him and preached. And when Peter preached, he preached to him Jesus Christ and told him in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him, speaking of Jesus Christ, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And Cornelius and his household believed. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord. They got saved. How? By fearing God. By fearing God, Cornelius listened to the Lord when the Lord told him to send to a man named Peter that he would give him the words of eternal life. And Peter came with his mouth, the mouth of, you see all three of them at work there, with the mouth of a righteous man, Peter. A God-fearing man, Cornelius, heard the words from the law of the wise and got saved. All three of them were at work. All three of the wells were at work in the salvation of Cornelius and his household. Tremendous, tremendous text of Scripture there in Acts chapter 10. You can read the rest of it and see what else is there for you. Now look in Proverbs chapter 9 and notice the connection then to life. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Watch it. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, that is wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Watch it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And when you get wisdom, what do you get? Your years multiplied, your years increased, you get life, more life from the fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, you wouldn't get the wisdom. Without the wisdom, you don't get the increase of years. Now, there are many practical applications to this, many of them, but I'll give you one. Years ago, we had the opportunity to preach in the county jail, and we used to go every Monday night. There were at least a couple of us that went in there, and one of us would teach and one of us would preach. And we had a great time because the prisoners would also give us words of testimony, and there was quite a bit of interaction, and so we learned a lot and they learned a lot. And I remember on one particular night we were there, a fellow named Robert, I won't give you his last name, was listening to us, and as we were preaching, man, I'll tell you what, it really struck him. I mean, what he was hearing really struck him. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I'm 40 years old, and every young man that I went to school with is either dead or in jail. Everyone. My running buddies. Either dead or in jail. 40 years old. He said, there's only one man of our running buddies that I know who is not dead or not in jail. He gave us the man's name, and he said, the reason he's not dead or in jail is that man got saved. You know what happened to that young man? He feared the Lord. He feared the consequences of his sin. He feared that God could take his life or destroy him. And by being God-fearing, he no longer feared the peer pressure of the drug users or of the criminals or of the men who took their lives. He no longer feared their peer pressure. He began to fear God. That fear led him into the words of life. And under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the young man got saved. They called him a Jesus freak to try to shake him. He didn't shake. And Robert, the day that he gave me that testimony, respected that man. Because by fearing God, his years had been multiplied. He was living, man, and survived past the years of those other men. People today are not God-fearing. They're men-fearing. They're men-fearing. You're afraid of what others think of you. You're afraid of ridicule. You're afraid of reproach. You're afraid of taking a stand and being singled out. You lack courage. And that's because you don't fear the Lord. And I'll tell you, when you fear the Lord, you don't fear men. And when you fear the Lord, you get wisdom. And when you get wisdom, you get life. That's why the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Then in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, we'll quickly give you a couple of more references here so you can see the connection. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." When you were a child and your father or your mother told you, "Don't touch the stove because it's hot and it'll burn you," when you feared them, you didn't do it. And by not touching the stove, you didn't burn your hand, and therefore you didn't suffer the consequences of your stupidity. Because you feared him, you believed him. Proverbs 22:4, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Now listen, you want a well of life? Go to the mouth of a righteous man. Go to the Bible and fear the Lord. You want to be a well of life? Then allow God's Holy Spirit to speak through your mouth. Stay plenty of time in the Bible and walk in the fear of the Lord, and you'll be a help to those around you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.